worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, Alana.
Hi, Sasha.
This is an exciting day. We have spoken to your sister,
yes,
Jessie.
Yes.
Now we're going to speak to my sister, Jessica. I've spoken about her a lot. I've talked about growing up with a sister who looks like Grace Kelly.
Yes.
And here she is, looking like Grace Kelly, wearing white.
Yes.
Like an
glamorous
angel. Glamour, effortlessly so. Well, I'm wearing like a corset with the tail sticking out of the pant. I stepped in dog shit today. I'm not kidding. I ordered my matcha. And then I
stepped in midday.
Ordered my matcha, turned to walk away and stepped in dog shit. And we're here now. And yes. we're fine.
Yeah, we're going to talk about all things embarrassing from our adolescence on our podcast, Free Period.
So, Jessica, welcome.
Welcome, Jessica.
What an amazing intro. Thank you. Oh, I guess I should say, it's Jessica Capshaw. She is not only my sister, she is a very brilliant actor. She's a brilliant writer. She's one of the funniest people I know. She is a mom of four. She's a wife of one. And she's here with us.
And we somehow convinced you to be on our podcast.
I'm so sharing happy
sharing
all
I'm so
things
happy to be
embarrassing.
Yes, because that is life.
I also think this will be a fun podcast because I get to ask you. I've been talking so much about myself in seventh grade, but you were okay, so you're 14 years older. Yes. So when I was 13.
She likes to remember every single year. I keep reminding her that the gap is closing, however.
It's closing.
Ironically.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think like the first time I hooked up with someone your age, that was probably when it closed.
And I remember being really, really mortified and thinking that guy was dirty. Like, what the fuck is, what is happening? That guy needs to be done. Don't you talk to that guy?
Oh my God.
Call that guy.
Yeah, don't. So I think this will be interesting because you were 27. You got to see me at 13, 14, 15, 16. Listen, it wasn't good. So you got to experience me at my worst. And I'm so curious to hear your point of view. But we also want to ask you about your seventh grade.
Yes.
And eighth grade.
Yeah.
All of it.
Yeah, all of it. Go. Yeah,
okay, first of all, we always like to know, were you cool in seventh grade?
Absolutely not in seventh.
Tell us.
That was a rough year. That's a rough year. I'm not sure. I would really like to talk to someone who thought seventh grade was smooth sailing.
That's what we
still have not found one person.
And I feel like the people who I perceived of as having it easy are now, as an adult, if that person comes across my path in any way, shape, or form, it almost feels like all of them are not having it easy now.
Yes. Completely.
So I don't know if there's an actual conclusion you can draw here, but it seems to follow that if you had it great in seventh, you should look around your life right now.
Yes.
And really think about whether it's going well.
Yes. 100%.
Because if it's going very badly, chances are it's much better now.
Yeah.
Yes. Life is good. Yeah. Seventh grade was very, very awkward. It's very hard for people to believe this. I was very, very shy. And very, very awkward within. I was very comfortable around adults. I mean, so far in life, I had mostly been an only child. And so I had a mom who was mostly a single mom. And she was working a lot and I would go with her to work and everything else. So most of my friends were over the age of 30. And that was super easy peasy for me. But the younger ones, that was a little rougher. And I was a little more of like, my friendships were I was far more interested in having one friend that was like really narrow and deep, like the best friend. So Mara Pally was my best friend. Aww. She was my everything. And then there's always inevitably that period of time where like your best friend decides that they want to have other friends, which you just see as a complete betrayal.
100%.
Why am I not enough? Why do you need more? Why would you need any other friends?
100%.
Yeah. So that happened. And then, huzzah, you're in middle school, mm-hmm. which was an all-girl school. And again, there were just things that sort of made me other. Like mom hadn't gotten married, so she was still single. And so
were your friends aware? Were people in your grade aware of that?
Well, it was like, you know, there was just other. It was like mom was really beautiful. And I think just by virtue of being connected to performance or arts or movies in general, there was like this glamour, at least through my eyes, that was like mom was just, you know, she'd pull up for carpool line in, you know, a Jeep, a black Jeep CJ7 you know,
so cool.
Kiss FM. Kiss FM on the radio.
Oh, yeah. 102.7.
For sure. Yeah. Rick D's in the morning. And so she would be super cool. And then, but all the things that we can say that make that really cool now made me feel other than. So even though I did know she was cool, I didn't really actually want her to be cool. I wanted her to like drive a Mercedes station wagon and have a husband who drove like whatever, I think back then, because it was all very privileged, you know, private schools in Los Angeles. It was like mom drove the Mercedes station wagon and dad drove the Porsche.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, that was crisis.
100%.
Midlife crisis dad.
Yeah. So So there was like, again, it was just like, and also I had gone to a very like granola, crunchy, earthy elementary school. And, you know, it was a wonderful education, but it probably was much more like emotional education. And we did things like study how to make baklava and adobe bricks, but not a lot of, you know, rigorous academia. So you tossed me in there with those fucking JTD kids. And I was like, what the hell? And they knew everything. They knew how to do everything really well. Their handwriting, off the charts, precise. Oh my goodness. And I was not. So again, it was a lot of other. And I was definitely different. And it was also right around the time that Wilson Phillips had come out with the song Hold On For One More Day.
Now somebody's gonna turn around and say goodbye.
Yep. And I didn't look anything like Chyna Phillips, but I thought perhaps getting her hair cut might, you know, do the trick.
Oh, no.
So bad.
Tell us. Just describe it to people who don't know the Chyna Phillips.
I mean, essentially, it's a bowl haircut, right? Yes,
it's a bowl cut.
And when you have blonde hair.
Was it dyed, your hair, or no?
No. That was real. That was some real blonde. Real blonde, bowl. But then, of course, the bottom part was brown because your hair is blonde because of the sun. So the sun had hit the top mushroom part, and the bottom was nice and earthy brown. Again, like the school I just come from. So that was.
What was it like going to school that first day with that haircut? Were you like, you felt hot? You're like, or did you immediately like?
I think I knew it was not.
You were like, oh no! I can just imagine like a vision of you like spinning around and like seeing yourself in the mirror for the first time, being like, oh god, what did I do?
Yeah.
And I never have the guts to go.
No,
that
that's short. Never have again.
But that takes confidence.
That does. Oh, take but
which I don't know where it came from.
It must have come from. I mean, you must have had confidence. Or what happens? Does mom say like you?
I don't remember mom being behind that.
I was gonna say.
I remember it really being me, very, very, very directed by me. Oof. About me. Yeah, and there was acne.
There was,
acne and a bowl cut. Again, girls' school,
right?
But it really wasn't even about like being attractive. I think it was about what you just said. It was like you wanted to feel cool.
Right.
Yeah, but it wasn't. It just wasn't. So yeah, seventh grade was rough because I didn't feel like I was as smart as the other kids or as prepared for school. So I wasn't like checking that box. And then I didn't have a ton of friends. And
you had a bowl cut.
And I had a bowl cut.
But did you have?
I was really bad at math. Oh, God. And I had a mean math teacher.
Ew.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, he was like in that, yeah, he was like that shaming, like, you don't know the answer? Why don't, like, what? And like, he knew that I never knew the answer, called on me all the time.
No.
Yeah, he was not very nice. Not very nice.
So did you, you went to an all-girls school for 3 years until it turned into a co-ed school. So you were bombarded, you didn't ask for the co-ed. You were bombarded with boys. You didn't ask for them.
I was ready for them.
Okay.
I was there for it. I was there for it.
I was going to say, did you have dances? Obviously, yes. You had co-ed dances.
Yes.
So tell us about your first co-ed dance in seventh grade. Can you remember it?
Oh, did you still I did. I just remember. Bullet? No.
Okay.
It had grown out. I think it had grown
now
out. To
now
like,
it's like a cute.
A long
now
bob.
Now it's a bob.
Yeah, now it's a bob. It's a bob. I remember there being a. I remember when our bar, when is bar and bat mitzvah? Is that seventh or eighth?
That's seventh.
And eighth. Yeah. It could be eighth.
Okay.
Yeah.
So not a lot of resources at home at the time. And so there was like a very like, and again, I wore a uniform. So why right. would anyone need to buy me extra clothes for the weekends? Because there would either be sports or you'd wear t-shirts and shorts. Like not a big complicated thing. So I remember mom knowing that bar and bat mitzvah, it was only bats. I was only invited to bat mitzvahs. Right, I don't think I ever girls. Got invited yeah. to bar mitzvah.
Right.
I don't think yeah. I knew any boys.
Yeah.
So we went to that place that I think then either became un de trois on Seven Sunny
mm-hmm.
or was un de trois mm-hmm. at the time. And she just like stocked up on some outfits.
Nice.
There was like a lot of, there was, Dayglo was a thing.
Right.
So I remember there was like a really, really very bright orange. No, sorry. It was like a bright yellowy green t-shirt. Very boxy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
right?
Of course.
Like 90s boxy. Mm-hmm. And tucked into a black, like elastic, wide elastic, like meant to make you like, it looks smaller here. And then it flared out.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was the outfit. So that was
the outfit. And then there was a couple, you know, you could mix and match because right. I had a couple things to go to. And I didn't, she couldn't afford to get a ton of outfits. So she had to mix and match. And so I also would use that arsenal to arm myself for the dances.
Ooh.
Yeah. I remember being like a lot of Rob Bass. Like, I'm Rob Bass and I came to get down. It was definitely you had... Like you had, like you got points for knowing all the words to the songs.
But that's cool that your mom listened to Kiss FM because like my parents didn't let me listen to Kiss FM.
Really?
They like, I would only listen to like modern music through friends. Like my parents were always K-Earth 101. K-Earth 101 was like, my parents did not get music. So like I never really knew. Like of course I knew like NSYNC because I had like MTV. But like it was... Like, I never had the cool... Like, my parents were, like, annoying. And
but maybe that actually was great.
I know.
I mean, now I appreciate
that you're,
it.
Exactly.
Now I appreciate it. But, like, back then I was, like, I wasn't allowed to listen. They, like, didn't... They were very much like, this music makes no sense. Like, 50s style of, like...
Of course.
I don't understand modern music. But that's... I mean, it's cool that you, like, knew all the stuff.
Well...
Yeah.
So did you have... At dances, did you have... What we call
Debbie Gibson,
grinding. Did you have grinding? Like, what was the dance move?
No, very step together, step touch.
Step together, step touch.
Yes. Step together, step touch.
What's step together, step touch?
Step together, step touch.
Wait.
Step together, step.
Oh. Yeah. It's the dance.
Step together, step
like how I dance now.
Yeah, exactly.
I haven't changed. Now. Step together, step touch. It's the
you just did that dance.
Step together, step touch.
So sorry.
Like, gosh, how do you dance? That's like all I do now.
Grinding.
And then I think there would be the slow dance, which I don't remember there being a ton of
slow dance. Did you slow dance with a boy? And do you have crushes?
Oh, I was
boy crazy.
Boy crazy.
So who were you in love with?
Ooga all the time. Like constant.
Who were you in love with?
Yeah, it's a ooga.
Yes. But who were your biggest celebrity crushes and then who were your biggest real life crushes in the form of a boy?
Well,
like Luke Perry?
Deep in my, oh, whoa. I mean, I had feelings for him that were real. They were not.
Because this is 89. So this is 1989, right? This is, you're 13 in 1989.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So is that what?
So it wouldn't be Luke Perry that it wouldn't. I don't know.
No, I think back then it would have been. No, I think that would have been. I think I was still deep in my longing for Michael J. Fox.
Oh, oh my God.
Yeah. No, he was everything.
From what?
From Family Ties and then Back to the Future.
Okay, got it. Got it. Me being like, from
I don't really remember. I remember. Step together, step touch. I
I feel like the other shows that were on would have likely been like Growing Pains. Yeah. And so right. Kirk Cameron was Kirk like, Cameron was hot. But I don't remember.
But Michael J. Fox was like a bad boy. He like kind of felt like a bad boy.
Yeah.
Like kind
yeah. of like a but nice he also was smart boy. And charming.
Yeah.
It wasn't just cute.
Yes.
Completely.
And then probably like, I don't know. I don't remember crushing on Rick Schroeder, formerly Ricky Schroeder, but that might have happened.
Okay.
Wasn't he on that show? I don't know. Yeah.
I don't know.
You'd have to, whatever the television shows were, for sure.
Right.
It was TV.
And then wasn't it like the Coreys? There was like Corey right. Haim and Corey. Haim,
Corey Feldman.
Corey Feldman.
I literally was about to be like, yeah, Corey Stoll.
No, not Corey Stoll.
Not him.
No, Corey Haim.
Corey Stoll is my celebrity crush, though.
Corey Haim was super hot, but then he also like, RIP, rest in peace, Corey Haim. But like literally for the rest of my life, now everyone thinks that my last name is Haim because of Corey Haim. Because yeah. they're yeah. spelled the exactly. same way.
Oh, I think I might be spelled. Someone who thinks that.
Yeah, you are.
I
yeah.
always am like,
it is Haim.
It's Haim, but it's spelled the same way. As I mean, if you actually yeah. read it, it's Haim.
Yeah, completely.
Yeah.
But for some reason, we pronounce it Haim. It well, should Haim. Be H-I-A-M, really, but it's H-A-I-M.
Yeah.
But no, but I almost got out of a test when Corey Haim passed away, unfortunately. Like, everyone thought that he was, like, my uncle. Everyone thought that like, Corey Haim was my uncle, and I'll never forget, like my teacher, like, called me to the front and was like, you don't have to take the test today.
Wow.
And I was like, I don't? And he was like, I'm so sorry for your loss. And I was like, what loss? And he was like, your uncle or your cousin passed away, Corey Haim. And I was like, oh no, we're not related. And then I was like, what the fuck did I just do? And I could have gotten out of the test, but no, R.I.P. Corey Haim. Sorry,
R.I.P. Corey
but
Haim.
You did change my life forever.
Fully. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
The two of the last names. But then did you have crushes on real life boys? I mean, I guess actors are real life boys, but
right.
Yes, they are real life boys in some other part. Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, there wasn't, again, girl school, so not a ton of.
I can't imagine an all girl school turning co-ed. Like, was it like the craziest? Like, when
and how did you get the news?
Like, because they came to your school. Like, you weren't going.
No, we went there.
Because, oh, you went there.
So I mean, it's actually incredibly compelling, like the whole story of it, and many people have many different takes on it. Don't even start. Mom will get real fired up about it. But but essentially, Harvard was this incredibly prestigious boys' school that was in the Valley on Coldwater Canyon.
Oh, Harvard Westlake.
Yeah. And then Westlake was this incredibly prestigious
girls'
school. And then one of them, I mean, again, I'm really approximating the story because it was not compelling to me then, is that there were financial troubles, I think, maybe, or something like that. And it made it so that it benefited one of them, and I think it was Harvard, to merge them. And so what they ended up doing was putting 7th, 8th, and 9th on the Bel Air campus, which I had already gone through, 7th, 8th, and 9th.
Right.
And then 10th, 11th, and 12th on the Coldwater campus.
Wait, I never knew that that was the origin of Harvard-Westlake.
Yes.
I didn't realize she it was called Harvard and then Westlake.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah.
That is crazy. I mean, that campus, I can understand why they were having financial troubles. They have very green grass.
I mean, it is the greenest.
It's the greenest.
So much water being paid
so
for.
So much water. Just keeping the lights on that place. They had an Olympic pool.
I know. No, it's bananas.
Like, it's bonkers. Bananas.
Yeah.
No, I told Sasha that I did my SATs there. I feel like every Valley kid always did their SATs at Harvard Westlake. And that was like the first time I had seen, I feel like I've said this on the podcast before, that was like the first time I've seen what a real school looks like. And I was like, this is crazy.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
It's a cafeteria with Jamba Juice.
Yeah. It felt crazy. It did. And it was, looking back now, it was absolutely like 90210.
Yeah.
I mean, it was really absolutely like 90210.
But you had a real, I mean, we don't have to get into this, but you have a very, very fascinating, compelling life story where it was just you and mom for so long, and then it was all of us.
so many of you came along.
I know. So
like
you got
like cheaper by the dozen.
one after the other. But you had, because you were living
great, though,
because yeah,
it was so much fun.
But was that also because you're 13 and then all of a sudden you have a baby in the house, and that baby is, well, first you have Theo, who is still a baby.
Yeah.
And then you have me, who's a baby.
Yeah.
And so you had two babies when you were 13 in the house. So how did you deal with that?
I always loved babies. And I mean, I'm not just saying this because I'm looking at your eyes. But when you were born, I remember just looking at you and being like, she's perfect. Like, she's got the most beautiful little eyes and the perfect little nose. And then I would just like hold you and I just thought you were perfect. So I couldn't have felt luckier. And also, it was a different time. Like, I do think about this often, given that I do have four children. I mean, I think that anyone who I've ever had look after the kids has been, you know, like had a graduate degree in child care. And I was like an 11 years old and taking care of babies all the time. And I'm from a big family, like the Missouri part of our family is really big. And so there was always cousins. And so babies didn't scare me at all. I actually loved them. And I'm a lot like Eve. Like Eve
is Jessica's daughter.
Aww. So she, as soon as we walk into a room with a baby, she's got it on her hip and delicious. She loves it so much. So I was thrilled. And also, again, let's remember the developmental stage you're in. What do you want more than anything when you're 13 or 14 from your parents? To be left alone.
Right.
Right?
Totally.
So you guys were welcome distractions.
Oh, my God.
It was like, oh, my gosh, they've got babies.
That's such a good point. But then you weren't really rebellious. Like, you weren't sneaking off when you were 13. That came more at, like, 16, right? Or no?
Did you successfully sneak out of your house?
There's no way. Fort Knox.
Yeah, no, that's how Fort
Knox. I remember thinking that it was, consider the incredibly privileged viewpoint, but I remember definitely boo-hooing big time.
I lived in this big house, you couldn't escape.
I mean, ridiculousness. Yeah, but of course. I remember thinking that it was meant to be this rite of passage, being able to sneak out, right? Mm-hmm. That you would have, like, you'd gather the courage.
You also, like, watch all the movies of, like, people sneaking out of their house. Like, you're like, oh, this is what you're supposed to do. Out the window, like, you have, like, you make, like, a bridge like a ladder out of, like, your sheets.
Yeah, there's someone who's turned a car off.
Yeah,
like, down the road. Totally. And then they start it once you push it down the hill.
Oh, it's so fun.
Yeah. That's what I wish I could
never
have.
Happened no, for
my,
me.
My dad, I've told Sasha this a million times, like, my dad had, like, eagle hearing and, like, even knew just before. Like, yeah. Like, even before, even if I had the thought of, like, I'm going to sneak out of my house, my dad already knew. Like, he knew, like, you're going to sneak out.
He's just waiting.
Waiting.
Just
like,
waiting.
And
he's like, oh, good. Try
like
this one.
Everything in my house made a noise. Like, everything. Like, the doors.
At the wrong time,
floors.
Too.
Yeah. All yeah. And you're just like,
yeah.
I don't think none of
just
us.
Just getting water.
Yeah. In a club outfit. Yeah. Just getting water in full makeup and hair.
Well, I
and
was.
And a dress.
Yeah. I was reminded of that when I was driving over because there's a couple of clubs that. We used to go to on Hollywood or Sunset.
But how would you get there? And wait, what grade are we talking? This is when
that was later. That was later.
Yeah, that was later. Because you in seventh grade, you were at an all-girl school. You didn't. When was your first kiss?
No, seventh and eighth grade was you. I mean, you would see boys. Oh, and that was the other thing was I didn't. My school yielded. I'm just happy that I left alive because I got no, like, I inherited no boyfriends. I inherited no currency that would make me cool in my new school at all.
First kiss.
I had braces. We didn't talk about the braces.
Oh, wait, you had braces? How long did you have?
I not only had the braces, but I had the kind that were the new ones that likely were probably more expensive. They were clear. They weren't like
like the clear brackets.
The clear ones
just
are the
looked
worst.
Like your teeth were yellow.
Yep.
Oh, no.
Yeah. With a silver line through them.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I had those. It's good times.
For how long?
Well, really a long time in my mind. maybe like a year or two. Yeah.
Right.
And so I had those. And there were two boys that were. Well, there was one really cute boy that everyone had a crush on, and then he had a best friend. And I think we were just saying that, like, boys don't quite – not all, but a lot of times boys don't quite wake up to liking girls as much as they are liked by the girls.
Totally.
Sometimes, whatever. I don't know. I mean, in whatever capacity that is happening. And so the boys were kind of like, yeah, whatever, to the girls. And this one boy had all these crushes on him. And he lived nearby my house somehow. And girls would want to come over to my house, like flypaper, right? So that there could be some kind of meetup. So right. then it turns out he's got a friend, and the friend is not the super cute boy, but he's adorable, so adorable, so right. super nice. And so then, don't you remember? I mean, I remember that at that point in life, it was always like you heard from a friend, right? Like so and so thinks you're cute, and so the so and so thinks you're cute turned into them coming over to our house, and the not so cute one and I. Having a
Did
little.
You want the other boy? You like want you want
intensely, the other boy. Intensely.
And like, yeah, but like
not there yet. My game had not gotten to.
How old are you?
I think 13.
Like seventh or eighth grade. Like, were you old for your grade or young for your grade? I always forget.
Young.
Okay, because she has an August birthday.
Yeah, so I was young. I was. I'm sure I was 13.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was at your house.
Yes.
Where was mom?
Unclear. Does anyone ever remember where their parents were when they were trying to get away with stuff? Yes. You do?
I remember every second you remember of everything where mom and dad period. Were. Because they were like perusing the house. They were, I mean, doors open all the time. You could not be in a room with like a boy. Yeah, well, with the door closed.
Yeah, that was definitely a rule. She must not have been there. But that seems unlikely too. Maybe there was like, I don't know.
Is this when you were living on
Yeah. So we had, so there was a, my bathroom had two doors in it. One door went out to the laundry room in the hallway of the kitchen because I was next to the kitchen. And then one door went into my actual room. And so I don't even remember how we ended up in there. But all I know is like, you know, back against the door, he leans in for the smoocheroonie. My first memories of like first kiss was I remember being like, this is weird to be so close to someone. It's weird to smell someone's breath like this closely. I'm unsure about how I feel about this said breath smell.
And then he
had braces and I had braces.
Jessica specifically is very sensitive to smell and breath.
I am. And she makes me seem like I'm not because hers is so good, but I'm also hearing. Like I can hear like loud sounds, not so great for me. Yeah. But yeah, so smell is a big one for me. And so what do seventh grade boys not care about?
Right.
How they smell.
Like hygiene.
In no way, shape, or form. So yeah, there was a kiss. It felt more like a smash. There was nothing like in whatever I had, whatever idea I had in my mind of it, in like the movie of my life, it was definitely not that. There was no swell of music. There was no.
It was against a door?
Yeah. That's... It wasn't like that makes it sound kind of sexy, to be honest, but it's not. It wasn't sexy.
You're like, oh God, what did I do? Rethinking every step of the way.
There was no way to go.
It was happening. Wait, so were your friends there? Like, did you come out of the room and they were
don't you remember like the intense embarrassment that you would have about the fact that everyone knew what it was that you were doing? And then I remember also being like, you know, do you think this took me out of the running for the really cute boy?
Totally. And it did.
It was his best friend.
It did, right?
Of course it did.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
interestingly, so, I mean, again, I don't know how you want to pace this out, but I went, seventh and eighth grade were not cool. I was not cool. There was nothing cool about me. I was not in. I was not all of the things. And then something happened right around eighth grade where I'm sure that was just I got a little comfortable. Our entire home life had changed. Again, that's probably around when you arrived. I had Theo and like I said, I really did pour. So when I was home, I was so grateful for you guys. Like, given that I didn't have some super cool life, I couldn't have felt more loved or enjoyed giving my love to these little ones. So I was so happy about that, and that honestly saved me on a lot of levels. I think, just the sort of deep sense of belonging and companionship. Eighth grade I must have just gotten more comfortable and more myself because I am someone I love making fun of myself. I love humor in every way, shape, and form. So I think that part of me was a little bit less intimidated by the new circumstances and everything else. And so I started making real friends. And then I made my bestest friend, Jennifer Mallory.
Yes,
who you know.
Yes, I know Jen Mallory.
Yeah, she's the best. She's the best. And she was my bestest friend.
That's so
We both sucked in math. We had that same mean math teacher together. She was hysterical. She was fun and funny and far less self-conscious or serious. I mean, sometimes we get serious too. And so she was just, and she ended up having to, for some reason, ride my bus home on Wednesdays because she had to go to youth group. Her mom, she went to youth group on Wednesdays. And we would just have.
Wait, where was your bus stop?
Montana and
oh cool
Montana and 26th
action packed.
Was it like by Brentwood Arts Center? Yellow bus,
like you Which I mean, talk about like the thing that could put the fear of God in me. Like my stomach, I would have a somatic response to knowing I was getting on the bus every day.
I mean, too. You know, I used to
hated it much. It was so awful. I hated the bus.
I had a vomiting issue. I would have such bad.
Not good on a bus. By
no,
the way.
So I was.
Would you vomit in your backpack?
Like, no. Would happen. I woke up every morning with quote unquote morning sickness, as I tell mom, and be like, I can't go to school. I have morning sickness because I had such bad nerves before getting on the bus to go to school. And so I'd get on the bus and I sat up front because I'm also a control freak and I needed to co-pilot. Like I thought me sitting in the front would like help because I needed to make sure we weren't going to crash. Anxiety at a very young age. And but because I was sitting in front, I vomited. Close to school too. I almost made it.
Out the window?
No, in my backpack. Oh, no. I vomited on the backpack, on the floor. I was so embarrassed, but because I was such a control freak and so anxious, I had to sit in front. That meant that every student who exited the bus had to pass me.
Walk through your puke?
Oh, no, I kept my puke aside, but they had to walk through and smell. They were like, ew. No, and then they saw me and I was like huddled and I had to wait for everyone to leave. But I went to an all-girls school, so it was also fine. But still, every day I feared that I was going to vomit again. And that was at the beginning of the school year in seventh grade. And I was like, I'm going to be the throw-up girl and I cannot be the throw-up girl. So I would have to, and I told mom, I was like, I have to have a Starbucks coffee cake every morning to make sure that I don't throw up. So every morning mom would drive me to Starbucks.
The remedy. I'm going to solve for this and it's in the name of a coffee cake from Starbucks.
It is good coffee cake. And it's also still have that coffee cake.
It's so good. And I needed the bread, like the substance. Yeah. But forever I had sickness before getting on the bus. I was so anxious.
I was just always worried about where to sit. I was like the cool girl sat in the back. I was not cool. It was just. Yeah.
When did you?
So Jenny started riding with me, and we had the best time ever. And then she invited me to come to her youth group, and then it was like truly we were off to the races. And then we would just have so much fun together that we then started just attracting other friends. And then all of a sudden, by ninth grade, I'm gonna say that I was.
Cool.
That's pretty cool.
God damn it.
I know.
We lost one.
By ninth. I know. By ninth, it was actually. Dark side. Ninth, it was working for me. It was working for me. Not with the boys. Not in ninth grade.
No, but you were popular and cool.
I had good girlfriends. But I will say, in my memory, it was also kind of, we made it cool to be nice. We weren't cool and mean.
Right. Yeah.
And it wasn't exclusive. There's always sort of like a little bit of a high that you get from like knowing that you've got like your people.
Right.
You can predict that. Yeah, of course, like there is that exclusivity piece, but it was never like you can't sit here or this is this group that it's like you're not a part of. Yeah. And there was always just like a falling into like a natural order of things. But to me, it more meant that like outside of the house and again, like the great belonging that I felt in my family, I actually had belonging outside my family too.
Right.
And just someone to, like I always say to my kids, I'm like, you honestly, you really just need one friend. Like it's you just need true. Just oh, if true. No one notices when you're sick, that's a problem. But you just need one. You don't need 10 people to notice. You just need one.
Right.
That like you know texts you and is like, hey, where were you? Yeah. That's all you need. That's all you need.
It is so true.
Then
is
I got true. That, and then that was far more comforting and a lot less anxiety producing for me.
Right. And I love Jenny Mallory.
Oh, she's the best.
And I loved all your friends. I was pretty brutal towards Jessica starting at the age of 4. And I remember what set it off. Jessica's boyfriend, let's call him Elton.
Okay. Elton John.
I have obviously. A vivid memory of me playing a card game with Elton, and he, like I lost or something, and then I ripped up the card
and threw it at him and I was raging, but it's probably because I was in love with him. And that's when my rage, and I also had serious issues with rage and temper from the age of like 3 to 5. It died down at even before 5. It was like really 2 years, and you remember it very well.
You had big feelings.
So I had big feelings. And I probably had big feelings towards Elton. And I think I just probably snapped.
You were a little jealous.
I was jealous.
You just didn't. You were, yeah, you wanted to get rid of me.
Oh, I was so jealous of Jessica. My whole life. Are you kidding me? First of all, look at us. Alana, no one else can see us right now in this room.
I don't know what she's
talking about. You're listening to us. But we don't look alike. We share, though, the backs of our knees.
Backs of our knees.
We figured it out.
Yeah, it was later. It was, yeah.
The one thing we share are the backs.
They look a lot alike.
How did we discover that?
We're staring at each other's bodies naked, desperately trying to find something in common. I remember finding it.
But and even actually, like, harder to figure out is that we both can look very much like or remind you of our shared mother.
Yes.
But clearly, different aspects of her completely because we don't look anything alike.
But then I get some people who Jessica has this great dedicated fan base, and I get a lot of messages being like, you guys have the same smile.
Aww,
I know, which I'm so happy. And the same eyes. And so, but I just, we've taken so many photos together and we're like, don't see it. I wish, but no, so I grew up, so I'm at the peak, and then, you know, not to make it about me, but I'm you know, you're tan, you're golden, your tiny little nose, big eyes, like big smile, dimples, and I'm over here like, honestly, I was looking at photos of my, well, first of all, in seventh grade, a friend said my celebrity doppelganger was Crispin Glover from Charlie's Angels, aka Creepy Thin Man, which was just humbling.
But see, I didn't see any of that. Like, I saw the gorgeous, gorgeous dark brown hair with the beautiful sparkly eyes. And to me, it was, that was not the case. That's so we were seeing different things.
You guys, this sister love. This sister the Grinch, my heart is literally growing. I'm just like, no one can see, but I'm just have the biggest smile on my face. Like, Sister love.
You have it with your sister.
I know.
It's the best. But I was so jealous of Jessica. I was like, how does she look like that? And then I would look at my skin and be like, I can't tan like her. In fact, I burn. There's a photo of her rubbing aloe over my entire body, and I'm beet red because one time we went on vacation, I was like, maybe I can lay out.
There were a lot more times you got sunburned.
Oh, yeah. No, I burned. And then I remember, like, yeah, just I wanted to, and everyone was always like fawning over Jessica. And so I'm 13 and Jessica's 27, or 26. So that's like, you're hot. Like, that's your.
Were peak years? Were they peaking?
Peak years, you have yet to have your peak
years. Yes, you have.
But she's, you know, on like a hit like show on Odd Man Out, or what? I'm trying to remember what year was Odd Man Out.
That was early. Those were early days.
So 2002, 2003.
Bad haircut on that one. But anyways, go ahead.
No, I loved that bob. Mm. She had a bob. It was really good.
It's a severe bob.
No, I wish it was bad.
That was after seeing something about Mary, because I was like, oh, yeah, I'm Cameron Diaz.
You went back to the bob.
went back to this the idolization bob. Of...
Bob, but I loved it on her, and I know. Trust me, I was hoping it wouldn't work, but it worked. Trust me, I really was sick of hearing, and everyone would tell me how amazing, like beautiful, and everyone would look at Jessica. I remember one time we were on vacation, and I don't even think you know this story. And Jessica, we were in Italy, and every man was like, "Marry me" to Jessica, and I'm like 13, like peak acne, braces, like my nose was like bigger and bigger and bigger by the day, and like I just felt not cute, and Jessica was being hounded by like men, by suitors, begging them to marry her and marry them. And then I remember I just need a moment alone without her, and that's when my time will come. So I went out to the docks. We were like on the water. We were like in Venice, or we were in some like sea.
You took town. A moment to yourself to reflect.
I went to the docks and I looked out to the water, and my fantasy was that someone would be like, "I love you, like you're beautiful." So I'm standing out by the docks, like awaiting suitors, like having a moment to myself, because I was like, "She's outshining me. I just need one moment alone." No one. In fact, some In fact, I think like Sawyer, our little brother, came out running being like, Dad, what's you come back to the table?
You're like, I just need this moment.
You were, I could just imagine you looking at yourself in the water. And like Ariel. Just like, who? Yeah, literally. And I could just imagine you thinking that like another face would just join in on your like circle, like your reflection in the water. You just hit yourself, hit the water.
That's exactly what happened. I mean, I couldn't reach the bottom. I was in a dock. But it was so just, it was just, I was just everywhere I went, I would be totally outshined. And it really, I was like, okay, well, I guess I got to be funny.
I don't remember any of this, but this was your perspective.
But that's what I love. This is why it's so great you're on the show, because it's so funny. You don't remember this. Are there any moments that stand out for you about me in seventh grade that were like, besides me, like Jessica, you know, I was a little angsty sometimes towards Jessica.
Well, you've just explained why. But for me, this was younger. I remember the friend groups and like the, and I definitely remember your bat mitzvah.
Oh, talk about
it. I would talk about a moment to shine. I mean, she got her a moment to shine.
Shema Yisrael. It was truly.
I feel like her interior monologue as she was like walking down the aisle during her service was like truly in your, I feel like your interior monologue was like, this is my moment to shine, bitches. Like they don't even know what they're going to get. And she got down there to the end. And then it was like that little twinkle in her eye when it was like about to be her first, you know, song something. Explosion. And she started singing and truly everyone was transported. She has a voice like an angel. Most people didn't see it coming. And
I tried to tell everyone. I wanted to go on Teen Idol.
I'm ready for it, Mom and Dad. I'm ready for it. I remember there was so many piano lessons. Yeah. And everybody was like crying and just, I mean, completely taken, like, it was unbelievable. Everyone was just like, they couldn't believe it. They could not believe it. And then she knew she was going to like roundhouse kick it in a way with a 1-2 punch, because the after party was then basically a Sasha Spielberg concert. It was like,
I love it.
With some guest stars. So who
we had, the guest? Melissa Etheridge,
obviously.
Here's the thing though. Do you remember I sang The Greatest Love by Whitney Houston? Greatest Love of All.
I'm glad you reminded me of that.
And it was Melissa. Melissa asked me to come up on stage. Here's the thing. With my Haftarah, I used my voice. I used a falsetto. But my true wish was to sing like Christina Aguilera or Whitney Houston or Mariah Carey. Right. I could not do that. But Melissa was like, come on, Sasha, get up on stage singing The Greatest Love. You know, the great. But I was way too shy because I knew that would take the voice that I actually wanted to have. And I couldn't do it in falsetto. So I mouthed it.
You mouthed it?
I went, oh. And I hoped that Melissa Etheridge's voice, people was going to be that louder. Was my voice.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, a little bait and switch.
Oh, my God.
That's okay. That's
I was too scared. Because it meant I was too focused on the Hebrew. And I think that's why my voice was actually okay. Because I wasn't focused on my singing voice.
She just got very serious. Do you notice how she just got very serious? She was like, yeah. I was too focused on the Hebrew.
She's really going to keep
the goddamn
Hebrew of it all.
Why couldn't I have done it in English?
Yeah. A little more processing on that one.
Okay, but this is all this so positive because, like, truly the fact that you didn't see me the way I saw me is so illuminating.
Did you guys ever go out? Like, when was it, like, when you guys, like, went out for the first time? Like, because I'm sure you took Sasha out at some point. Like, did you guys ever go out?
I would say absolutely 100% because I was much older. It almost felt like I had some sort of responsibility.
Totally.
To not, like, I think if you were like 3 or 4 years older, you would remember what you felt when you were that age. And so you just sort of shepherd them in and be like, I don't, like, great. Here's all the booze. Here's all the cigarettes. Yeah. Let's do it.
That's what my sister said. Yeah,
exactly. Right. Yeah. So you would do that. But I was outside that window where it would almost seem like I'd done this really irresponsible thing by letting anybody do anything. Right. And I was always just sort of like, I'm a rule follower. Yes, my name's Jessica. I'm a rule follower.
Yeah. Hi, Jessica.
Interestingly enough, I have broken so many rules in my life. So it's interesting that I am a rule follower. Or how does that work is the question. Riddle me that.
Unpack it later.
I think that the first... I feel like we started going out, like it would be like more like when we'd have family vacations, right? Like
yes, when we'd have family vacations.
Because it was in Europe and it was different. Yeah, the rules were different.
Like when you're like 16,
so I was 14 the first time I went out with you.
Right.
I was probably 14 with you and Christopher. Yeah. And you guys were just married.
Yeah.
And I wore like one of your green tops. And a jean skirt.
Yes.
And
one who doesn't want to borrow their sister's clothes.
Oh, yeah.
That was we would just like make it. Figure it
no,
out.
But one of the worst things that's ever happened to me, truly, and you know, everything feels so like stakes are high when you're in seventh grade. The dress you wore to my bat mitzvah party was this light blue. Do you remember this? It was this light blue Hawaiian print strapless silk dress.
Oh, so cool.
It was the most beautiful thing I'd ever seen. And Jessica lent it to me. And she was like, don't ruin it. Don't lose it.
No.
But wear it. I love you. And I wore it. I had nowhere to wear it to, so I just wore it and took a few photos. And I was like, I'm going to treasure this for life. I don't know where it was gone.
It vanished.
And I lost it. Or something happened. Did I lose it or did I spill? No, I think I lost it. And it was one of, you were very upset, rightfully so.
Was I?
Yes. And it stuck with me. Like I remember my heart racing. I was sweating. I was like, the one time she lends me something, I lose it.
You definitely put it in like a super safe place.
I was going to say.
That you just forgot.
It still is.
No, right, but now. Mom.
It's like literally in your bathroom, like under the ceiling.
Yeah.
You like fully put it in like a
sure. It was so cute. But Mom also would go into our closets. I don't know if she did this with you. She would go into my closet and like just take things and give them away.
Yes, yes, yes.
And so I'm sure she was like, she's wearing strapless? I wasn't allowed strapless.
Yeah. Maybe that's what happened. That's so interesting.
I know. It was so horrible. And I felt like I really wronged you.
Oh, I need to find these photos. Is it like you under like a tree?
I feel No, I have it. It's actually
Did you have boobs?
Yes, I developed quite early.
Yes, we have. Well, yes. Have you not covered this yet in the podcast?
Oh, yeah. We covered it.
Yeah, all we do is talk about boobs.
I was like, I am a proud butterface. That is how I walked around the world.
Yeah. What are you talking
about? Everything butterface.
I mean, I know what that means, but...
That's how I saw myself. I was like, I've got the body.
You're...
And my face... I was like, my face, cool.
She's crazy.
Well, also, me and Sasha last night had a conversation about how we're both morphing into each other at this point.
Oh, yeah. My tooth.
I have a snaggle tooth that I got when I was very young. I like chipped my tooth and my orthodontist just shaved it down. But Sasha texted me a close up of her teeth and was like, I'm getting a snaggle tooth.
Mine is longer
like
than
we're
the
literally
other. And it's gap. And yeah, she has a gap.
And I have a gap. We're morphing into each other.
But see, I wish I had
worst
a friend
things
like
can happen, ladies. Worst things can happen.
No, I know.
You guys can look like sisters.
I know.
We do.
We look like sisters.
We do. That's why you're now the sister to Alana and her sisters.
Yes.
But no, I do look. I mean, I look like. I think for National Sister Day, even on Instagram, I was like, happy National Sister Day. And I photoshopped me into a picture of you and your sisters. And you were like, what the hell?
I know. Wait, what? What's happening?
No, and then one time, Jessica, when I was in sixth grade, Jessica came to, we had this thing called Moms and Muffins.
Oh my gosh.
In sixth grade, where our moms would come with us to have muffins for first period or whatever they call it in sixth grade.
Moms with
yeah.
muffins?
Yeah, moms with like muffins. Which now kind of sounds a little dirty.
I know. So dirty.
Moms with muffins.
And it was weird because the dad one was dad's and dicks.
Do you want to eat my muffins?
Yeah. Dad's and dicks. It's just so crazy.
It's so strange. It was moms and muffins and dad's and dicks.
Oh my God. So I came for the moms and muffins.
So she came for the moms and muffins, and she was my stand-in mom because mom was some. Where was mom?
I think I was staying with you guys because mom and dad were out of town.
Again, where was mom? Where is mom? No, she's always there for us.
I was definitely on duty.
But you were on duty and you came with me and I just remember feeling like the coolest person in the school.
Oh, yeah.
And then we took a photo together. We still have the photo and I look like Voldemort. Because
you do not. I remember I was wearing a blue shirt and I was wearing Abercrombie & Fitch sweatpants.
We'll find it.
It's so good. So what I remember about that also was that at the time I was acting, and
yes,
there were so many auditions, so many you didn't get, so many.
Right.
And I remember getting a call from my agent saying that I had an audition to go. I had to go audition for David Kelly, who was in Manhattan Beach. And they had a studio because he was doing, like, at the time, he was doing, like, Ally McBeal and mm-hmm. The Practice and I don't think the Boston Public. But anyways, and I was like, yeah, absolutely. And the show was already on, so I'd be joining. And great. So they send me the sides, and it was a fucking giant David Kelly closing monologue. Like, monologue. Oh, so, like, two pages of, like, legalese and so much. Man. And I got it that morning. That I had already committed to Moms and Muffins. So I went to Moms and Muffins and then came home, took a shower, and then I had a Jeep, and I remember driving the entire ride from, you know, the Palisades to Manhattan Beach with, like, the sides in my right hand and my left hand on the wheel, and just, like, trying to learn these sides because I didn't have the morning because I had been with the Moms and the Muffins.
And I got that job.
How crazy is that? That was a big job for your career. Yeah, I mean, that was a big job. That was, like, my first
regular.
It was because second, of Moms but it was, and Muffins.
It was a show that actually some people watched. Which one? The Practice, because that
The Practice was the one before.
Well, Odd Man Out, Naked hadn't really done.
Odd Man Out was amazing.
Yeah, but it had a 13 and under.
You gave the good juju. Yeah.
You gave the good juju. The Moms and Muffins really cemented. I think it probably led with that joke as my entrance into the room. Like, I was caught up at Moms and Muffins earlier today.
Incredible, because you must have been 25.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, 24. Yeah, 24.
That's so crazy.
Yeah.
That is wild.
Yeah, it was definitely. So I remember that. And then seventh grade for you, I remember you being very cool. I remember you got your head, like, I know. I think that it's probably.
Sasha, our podcast is a lie.
Because I remember, like, you and Theo always had cool music. You listened to cool music. Like,
yes, that
you,
is true. I listened to purely classic rock.
Whenever people are younger than you, they also always bring things to you in a different way. So that was cool to me. I mean, again, guys, it's in the eyes of the beholder, right? Like, you saw me a certain way, I saw you a certain way, and then we'd see ourselves completely differently. But I remember thinking that it was great that you had all that. And then I do remember being really, really – I think it's completely a sibling thing because Sasha and I talk about this a lot. It's like I'm really interested in why – sibling rivalry exists, or why when you feel that pull to feel jealous of your sibling, like, why you feel that way. Mm-hmm. And so someone explained it to me recently in a way that sort of made sense to me, which is like, if you are not feeling like you're getting enough in any different category, then it looks like someone else is, mm-hmm. then that's where your attention goes. And for me at that time, which it's not my nature to be all the time, but I must have been having a day or something, and I was like, it was all about, like, the things I didn't get. And I was like, how many piano lessons a week? I mean, how many piano lessons a week does she, how many singing lessons? Oh, really? A little tennis. Oh, really play tennis today? Oh, swim coach oh, Kim's here again. Oh, there's a swim coach. Oh, is she doing some strokes? Oh, she's learning strokes. New strokes? Great. That's awesome. So I remember that being a thing where I was like, I didn't get anything. I didn't get a stroke coach. I didn't get a piano teacher. I have a great voice. How come I don't have singing lessons?
You do have a great voice.
I barely. Anyways, so I remember that being, like, a thing.
Yeah.
Which was also, I pretty quickly snapped out of those moments because, again, like, the age divide. I was like, I am too old to be jealous this happening right now. But yeah. And so I remember that, and I always remember really liking your friends.
I had good Layla. I had my one. Friend,
like, and
I
really acted did. Like she liked me way more than her. She did back then.
Layla, the traitor.
Yeah, no, you know that she would always be like, "Hi,"
I know,
and then I would play up on that, and she would be, and then I would be like, "I was so much fun," and then this one would, like, sprain an eyeball rolling it. She'd be like, "Ugh, whatever." To my older sister.
No, my sisters, my siblings. So Essie, we talked about this, I think, on Essie's episode, but Essie worked at. Cheesecake Factory at the Galleria. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you went.
Sherman Oaks.
Yeah, Sherman Oaks Galleria. And all of the hottest boys, like, would always be like,
let's go say hi to your sister. Like when we would be at the Galleria, and I would always just be like, I felt so cool that my sister worked at the Cheesecake Factory because she would like get us like free food. But I also was like, why don't they want to like, they like want to make out with my sister. They don't want to make out with me. Like as if Esty would make out with like a 12-year-old boy. Like I'm like, Esty,
she was 17.
She was literally like 18. Yeah. And like as if like Esty, like I was in competition with Esty. Esty was like, these pipsqueaks, like I'm getting them free brown bread and sourdough bread. Like, I was like so jealous. I was like, why does Esty, like everyone always loves Esty. And it was like always this thing. But like, the thing was, I was like, I always thought that she was just so cool because she worked at the Cheesecake Factory and had a car. Yeah. I was like, God. Like,
well, that would make you a queen.
I know. I was like, when I'm 18, I'm going to work at the Cheesecake Factory.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be cool. No, but sure. That was the thing that I always, because I'm the youngest in my family, but you're in the middle.
The middle.
And the thing that I always wanted is like, I always wanted a baby sibling to like take care of because it seemed like so much fun. Like I wanted to always do what Esty and Danielle did for me, where they like scooped me up and like always like wanted me around, which was like very rare and weird. But I never got that, which was a sad, like, Esty and Danielle always talk about, like, the day that I was born, like, they remember, like, I don't have, like, a story of.
You know what, my youngest feels that way. She recently was like, I really want you to have another baby. And I was like, oh.
You're like, no.
Oh, there's four of you. At some point you have to stop.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Yeah. But she just wants to be older than someone. So she now, as the youngest, whenever she's with friends, she does do that thing where she's like, you can hear nothing is funnier than eavesdropping on like four-year-old conversations. But I do remember there started to be a trend where more than once she would like look at another kid that she was playing with and be like, so how much do you weigh? And the kid would be like, I don't know. And she just wanted to weigh more because that means she was bigger. Like, and then it'd be like, so do you know how to spell truck? Because I know how to spell truck. You're like, okay, Josie. And she just would pull out this thing that just made her bigger. And more cooler. Big, yeah. Like just like was like, you know, she was older.
Yeah.
Like no, she was older than this kid because she's the same way. I mean, like all the girls always want Josie around and she just like, and she gets so frustrated when she can't do the things the other girls do.
Oh,
like,
I know. Cause
she's not big enough.
Yeah. Swimming was a really big thing. Cause Esty would always, that's when like when we would go swimming in a pool, that's when I knew my true age. Cause I'm a terrible swimmer. I've always been also a terrible swimmer. Also the last
kid nobody pays attention to.
Yeah,
like, and, no one, whether they can really swim.
Yeah, like I taught myself how to swim. I think we said that story on SC.
You mean
thing,
Kim Nita didn't come over and do your
You mean you didn't have swim lessons?
I'll never forget. Like I would always get so stressed out when we would all be in a swimming pool because like SC would play this game where she would like come catch me would literally be drowning because I was smaller and like Esty was like an incredible swimmer still like would do like swan dives and like was so good at diving off of a diving board and I was like belly flopped and I like that's when I knew like my true like hierarchy and the thing because she'd be like come catch me and I'd be like okay and it'd be, also be super competitive and I'd be like and she would be so much faster than me and then I would like start crying and drowning
so many memories around a pool. For
I just
want to
be bigger. I want to be bigger and I wanted to take care of some. I wanted to have some sort of like authority and like be like, I'm going to take care of this person. Yeah. This is my
but
doll.
But you have your cousins and you're like,
I do. Like my version of that was when I became a nanny and I'm still friends with the girl that I nannied. Her name is Dori Samovitz. She's a queen. But no, like, and she was like my little sister because she was like 13 when I was like 18 and I was her nanny and I was like, I'm going to be the cool nanny. But I mean,
no, you weren't. You were still,
I would just
I'm
like
sure
let
you were.
My kids
so
play
cool.
Like Wii all the time. They'd be like, our parents don't let us play Wii. I'm like, go play Wii. Go do it. Like, I'm the cool nanny. Like, get out your games. Like, I don't care.
Whoever
free
that
for
mom
all.
Was. Like, what the fuck?
They come home like, Alana lets us play Wii.
I actually thought you said Alana let us smoke weed.
I know, I heard smoke weed too.
No,
I was like, hello.
Play Wii. Play
a Wii. Play a Wii.
Play Wii.
Alana, Jessica.
What a beautiful podcast.
This was like therapy.
I felt like it was therapy for me too. I feel like I feel like we've gotten to a new point of like sister love in this
house. I'm in, guys, next week. Same the same time. I'm here.
We didn't even scratch. I mean, we barely scratched the surface.
We did barely
scratch
the surface.
We did learn a lot about
Each other. We learned about each other's perceptions of each other, which is the deep love for each other. We can talk about the highs, the lows. Everything. Believe you me, there's more. There's definitely a part two to this.
We can do part two.
We'll do a part
two.
Well, we should do all of our sisters, all the
in the same room. Oh my God.
It'll literally be like Cheever by the dozen. Like so many siblings.
Yeah, because we have five others and you have two.
Well, you know what I think also is sort of like, I mean, we skipped over a bunch of other stuff, but Sasha and I always refer to this as it's actually kind of become the thing that I think that we like to do when we have the opportunity is there's a particular brand of magic that comes with the sisterness of it all that you would behave in a way with your sister that you would not behave with anyone else. And even your closest girlfriends or whatever, but like when Sasha and I get in bed,
oh my God.
Like if we're having a sleepover or whatever, and we go through either her phone, it's usually either her saved or her favorite TikToks.
Yeah.
Or when she was dating, like her Hinge.
Uh-huh. We went, Hingy.
You laugh in a way that you don't laugh anywhere else. Like it's from your toenails to the ends of your hair. Like you just dying laughing.
Yeah.
I mean, couldn't breathe.
Not breathe. And this was, by the way, we had a sleepover like it was two and a half years ago.
I know. And I know. Was like, on I take care of too many people. Like, I got too many kids. I got to get out of that.
I love
what's happening right now.
I love having sleepovers with Jessica. And also, my favorite was having sleepovers with her when I was 13.
Yeah.
And I would go over to her house and I would just feel like the coolest person in the world.
Sleepovers.
Just the most fun.
Best older sisters.
Best older. Really. Yeah. Best older sisters. You guys thank you so
much. And you took care of us. And we're grateful. We are very grateful.
We are very grateful. Thank you so much, Jessica, for coming on to Free Period. I love you so much.
Now I love you.
I know.
New sister.
Well, that was Free Period.
Yeah, and we'll see you next week. Thank you for listening to Free Period, a presentation of Cadence 13 and Odyssey Studio.
New episodes every Tuesday.
Bye.